And I want to read this. This is from President George Washington as he did a proclamation over the day of giving thanks. And I'll try to read this in my great George Washington early English reading. No. Don't get excited. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, and to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of the Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity to peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. So instead of doing Christmas right away, look, if it was good enough for the great George Washington to do Thanksgiving, we're going to hold up on Christmas just a bit and do Thanksgiving. Amen? For the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about thankful, being thankful, and hashtag grateful. So every time, how many of y'all are personality test people? Do you like them? You love them? You can't get enough of them? Really? Yep. No, raise them high. Raise them high. Don't be shy. Raise them high, right? So absolutely. Yeah. I am too most of the time, most days. So we just did a personality test and they're always the same, right? So we did Myers-Briggs, but I know we do Enneagrams. By the way, I'm a 8/3, kind of somewhere in that range. But also I am an ENFP. Right? So, yeah, amen. Amen. That's amazing. All right, we need to talk. Let me tell you, only an ENFP would do that, right? So let me just talk about, I don't know if you wanted to say that, so because I'm going to be very transparent here, and so now my transparency is going on to you. So, hey, how about that? So I just want to say, so my personality is I am curious, perceptive, enthusiastic, excellent communicator.
Amen.
That's right. You're a good church. Festive and good-natured. Now the negatives. This is transparent life right here. People-pleasing. Unfocused. Disorganized. Overly accommodating. Overly optimistic. Restless. And with that, I turn in my resignation. Now, isn't it amazing that when we talk about these personality types and we talk about all the things, what we focus in on are the negatives. Most of the time, if you do this in a group, much of the time is dealing with the negatives. We talk about the negatives. The first thing we do is we go, oh man, I can't believe it. I know, I'm so disorganized. Yeah, I know, it's true, that's true. You know, and all of those things. You know, thank God that I married not me. I married somebody very organized and very kind of opposite of me. But we tend to look at the negatives. And some of you, like right now, you're going, maybe this is your first time here this morning. You're going, I don't know if I want to be in this church. Disorganized, people-pleasing, because the Bible talks about being a people-pleaser, right? All of these things. So you're already thinking, that's what we go to negatively, right? So I'm going to go back for my own benefit and read my positives again. Curious, and I'll read a little thing towards it. Not always satisfied with the status quo. Perceptive. I am perceptive on others. This is from the Myers-Briggs. And it adds to my caring nature. This is so self, whatever. Caring nature. This is so self, whatever. Enthusiastic, inspired, loving to hear others' ideas and opinions. Excellent communicator, easy to talk in public and in private. Festive, live for sharing joy with others. Good nature, warm-hearted, and approachable. Now, I would say those are qualifications of a really good leader. A really good, right? So why is it that we first go to the negative? Why is it our thinking and we're geared towards the negative stuff? All you have to do is turn on social media. Amen. All we have to do is look around. The criticism abounds for everything. We tend to be, and not only are we tend to be hard on other people, we tend to be hard on ourselves and the way we think about ourselves, right? Like most people, when you do a personality test, don't you? You just like skim, and this weird kind of sense of false humility, right? You skim over, oh yeah, those positive things, but let me just nail on those negatives, right? It's what we tend to do. I believe this negative attitude is the core root of why being hashtag grateful is so hard. This attitude that we look at the negative, and I wrote this, we tend to see things that are not more than the things that are. It's our bent to think about the things that are not. And so this idea, it permeates like our world. So I was at the, Walmart, actually getting stuff for Operation Christmas Child yesterday. And I had written this already in my notes, but then it was like out there. How many of you have ever been, or your kids, or my kids, you go into, maybe you're buying some eggs, or you're just buying something really quick, and your kids are with you, or your kid is with you. And all of a sudden, they see that thing on the shelf, right? And immediately, when the no is spoken, you might as well have broken that kid's arm. Because the amount of pain and anguish and crying and hurt and so we were in the toy aisle yesterday, and I heard it happening in real time. And I went, that's my message. And that kid was just, I want it, you never, right? You never get me. Like, really. And the parent is always, they're such good parents, right? Parents are always so great. Parents are the, you know what? Every time we go to the store, you don't just get something, right? How many of y'all parents, you know? How well does that go over? Mm-mm. And what you want to say is, you little ungrateful brat. Look at the clothes you're wearing. Have you seen your shoes? Have you seen your clothes? Have you seen your toys? You got so many toys that, you know, you have to purge. Right? And you want the little Spider-Man guy thing. Or you want that piece of candy. And the moment you're told no, the anguish. But that's only kids, right? Right? That's only us kids. Us kids. Rick Joyner said this. Reggie Joyner, sorry, that's a different person. Reggie Joyner said this about ungratefulness. He says, you develop, when you're ungrateful, it's amazing the effects that it has on us. It says, you develop an unhealthy ego where it's all about me. Ungratefulness has to do with it's all about me, right? Somebody does something for you, right? And you don't say thanks, you don't do anything, you don't appreciate, right? Because like somehow that's owed to you, you know? My wife was talking about that this morning. And again, I actually brought her coffee this morning, like many times I do, husbands. And she said, you know what? I can just, because you do it all the time, I can just think it's just normal. But you have to stop and think, because if it's all just normal, then it's all about me because I need my coffee and it's in here, I got it, right? Or stuff that our spouse, or other things that our spouses do for us. Our family does, our friends do for us. If we just say, well, that's just the way it is and you should just serve me, right? It's ungrateful. That ungratefulness creates this idea and this unhealthy ego. And actually, ungratefulness, he goes on and says that you drive people away from you through your ungratefulness. You fuel an attitude, he says, of entitlement. You breed in yourself discontentment. I don't have enough. You nurture a critical spirit. I would be as bold to say that in our world, we live in that ungrateful mentality. You know, there's studies after study, I won't bore you, study after studies of all of these things that talk about what an ungrateful heart does to people, people that are ungrateful. Gratitude, on the other hand, is directly linked in all the studies with happiness and satisfaction in life. All of the studies. Robert Emmons, he spent years studying gratitude. He wrote this: grateful people experience higher levels of positive emotions such as joy, enthusiasm, love, happiness, and optimism. And the practice of gratitude as a discipline protects a person from the destructive impulses of envy, resentment, greed, and bitterness. So this idea of gratitude, it also correlates. It's, you know, you're looking for the, what does gratitude do for your own health? Well, I'll tell you what it does for your own health. It actually pushes you down towards depression. A matter of fact, many studies talk about the idea that one way out of depression is an attitude of that gratitude, of being grateful. Actually, they say, one research thing said this, the quickest way out of depression is gratefulness. Because you can't physically be grateful and depressed. Right? So be great, being grateful. And then we know all of the other negatives that go, health of stress, worry. Like ego is unhealthy. Your self, whatever, your narcissism is unhealthy, right? Because it produces all kind of negative thing in your body. Gratefulness. So let's dive into this a little bit. Let's see what Scripture says about Colossians, about gratitude. In Colossians chapter 2, I read from the CSB. So then, just as you had received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to walk in Him, being rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. Gratitude. Psalms 95, verse 1, the psalmist says this, come, let us shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let us enter His presence with thanksgiving. Let's shout triumphantly to Him in song. Psalms 107, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His faithfulness endures forever. Excuse me, His faithful love. And again, in 1 Chronicles 16, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. What is that? We talked about a few weeks ago that chesed, the loyal love of God. The loyal love of God that you are in this room and God continues in all of your mess, like Jessica was saying this morning, all of your mess, God continues to pursue you. It's His loyal love for you. That is worthy of thanksgiving. It's worthy of giving thanks. His never-ending pursuit of you. So how do we change our mindset about this idea of giving thanks and of gratitude, having this idea of and this attitude, of gratitude. So first of all, and the first thing that we need to do, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, let me just a side note. So it's interesting, this is not in my notes. It's interesting as I was studying that thanksgiving in Scripture, yes, there's a heart motivation behind gratitude and being grateful in your heart. But in Scripture, it's always vocalized. Thanksgiving is always said. And it's expected from the Lord. This gratitude, this thing that we give thanks, is not just a mental thing. It's a verbal thing that we do. Absolutely. Does it start in your heart? It's got to start in your heart. Got to. But if it doesn't come out, right? I can be grateful for my wife all day long, and she never know it. She never know it unless I tell her, right? So the first thing, that was just a side. That was free. It's all free. So to understand this and get this mindset, I'm going to say mindset of gratitude, it is important to realize first that God is the source. Listen to this scripture. I'm going to break this down. Acts chapter 17 and verse 28. It says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." In him we move. I'm going to stop right there. In him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, "For we are also his offspring." That word being, if you take that word to the original, many translations, some of your translations may actually say it, exist. In him we live and move and exist. Hear that. We exist by him. He is the giver and author of life itself. Now stay with me. Because we understand this, because we take it for granted that we breathe. We literally take it for granted that, when was the last time you thought about your own breath? We literally do not think about our heart beating. We literally do not think, we'll take it to the forest, right? We literally don't think about the energy that it takes to produce a tree and life and all the life has now gone into the roots. But then in the spring, we see the life coming back, right? And even now, we see life all around us. Do you understand that without God, that does not happen? The very idea that we exist is a nod to the reality that God is still on the throne, that God is still doing stuff. He's not left us. He's not pulled his life source from the earth. Understand that every bit of life. And I remember, and let me just say that just studying this for the last couple of weeks, it's changed my thinking. Because we all tend to be not very thankful. And even I'll be honest. I mean, I always am honest. But I tend to be the person that when somebody, I'm just thankful for the breath in my lungs, I go, okay. Huh? Anybody else? Okay, I see some nodding. But the idea of like, oh, okay, yeah, breath in my lungs, yeah. We live in a free country, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's good. It's almost like that's owed to us. It dawned on me these last couple of weeks that it's not. It's not. It's a gift from God. The very breath in my lungs, the very blood that courses through my veins is a gift from God. The fact that I exist is a gift from God. No matter what your, actually, no, not, not even, no matter what your health state, the fact that you exist is a gift from God. He is a source of everything. Of everything. In him we live and move and exist. Exist. Now think about all the things that you, quote unquote, have from your existence all the way over to the things that you wish you had. And all of those things in between are opportunities for gratitude for God. All of those things are opportunities. And the moment we forget is the moment that we think we just deserve it. It's just expected. I just expect my spouse to be nice to me. No. That's a choice. Every day. Right? That your spouse chooses to be nice to you. Amen. It's a choice, all the teenagers, that your parents allow you to live in your home. That's the choice that they make every single day. All the parents said, amen. Amen. Some days that choice is easier than others. Amen. No, I didn't. That was unsolicited amen for that one. But think about it. Your existence is a reminder that everything I have is a place where I can give thanks to God. And we'll talk about next week, not only to God, but to each other. So what are the things that we can have, we can give thanks for? That we have life. You have life. We have cognitive abilities in this room. We have a community of hope in this church. We have a country that we still have the freedom to assemble and worship God. Now stop thinking about what we don't have and what might be. We have it today. I'm telling you. Watch it. Do we need to be? Yes. Fight the battle. But today, I can be grateful. Because there's many countries that do not. We have friends and family. We have people in our lives that not only love us, but they like us. That's vastly different, by the way. My wife has to tell me, David, today I love you and like you. Which is not every day the truth. You have jobs. You have cars. You have stuff. You have cool stuff. All of those things. Our ability to give thanks to God. There were so many opportunities for the children of Israel to take time and to step aside and say, no, this time we're going to give thanks for the harvest today. When have you ever stopped and you got your paycheck? And you went, I have a lot of comments right now. Because you know where I was going to go, right? They don't pay me enough. You got a paycheck. You got a paycheck today. You have a job today, right? Many of you have skills, education. The place that you work is lucky to have you. That's a place to give thanks to God and be thankful. The businesses that you have. So, let's do this. This week, let's be thankful. Let's not wait till the day when you've gorged yourself and you've put yourself into a turkey coma. We're going to talk about, and watch our social media posts this week, because I really want to know how much people really like turkey. I don't know. That's a thing that in my head. I think we just eat it because we anyway. That's just me. I am thankful for turkey. I'm thankful for other things more, though, I'll tell you that. Yes. Why don't we do steak? So let's be thankful. So maybe even if you're a social media person, let's flip it. Why don't you put things that you're thankful for? What are you thankful for? What are we going to, on purpose, thank God for that we have. And then I would challenge you, because I really want to go there, but I'm not going to go there. But I would challenge you, because I'm going to talk about it next week. Go read the story of the 10 lepers. That's all I'm going to say. Because God expects it. God expects our gratitude. He expects our giving of thanks for what we've been given. Amen? Worship team, come on up. Let's all stand together. You know what? Being thankful and changing the mindset. Remember my quote. We tend to see things that are not more than the things that are. What in our blindsided, in our desire for more, and our wishes and our hopes for different things, have we forgotten to see what we have now? This is what the people of God do. We call ourselves believers. We understand that the source is God, that I exist by Him. He saw fit to make me and you. And I can give thanks for that. And maybe not look so much at the things that we don't have or the troubles and difficulties. Because they're a lot, right? But so are the things we can be thankful for. And I'm telling you, it's a better way to live. It's the godly way to live. I'm going to put down the way I do things, pick up the way God asks me to do things, and watch God's life, His pleasure, watch that failure even mentality, and you would be amazed how much your faith is hooked up with how grateful you are. Because you can't be a person of faith and not be a person that's grateful. Let's just close our eyes. We thank you, God. Just do that exercise, even right now. Even right now. Right where you're at. In this room, watching online. What are you thankful for? What are the things that you have just breezed past in your mind? And you thought it was just kind of owed to you, so you didn't think about it much. Yes. Thank you, God. We give you thanks. Just tell them right there where you're at. Thank you, God. Just right there under your breath. Thank you, God. I thank you, God. Thank you, God. Worship you, God. Give you thanks for all your good things. Thank you, God, for the gift of life. Thank you, God, that while I still am here, God, there's hope for better days. God, while I still breathe, God, there's hope for new things. While I exist, God, that means my story's not over. God, that you're continue to pursue me and move me forward. We thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Small things, the big things. God, we give you thanks. And ultimately, Jesus, we give you thanks that while we were still in our sins, Christ came. Jesus, you came and you died for me. And God, even in all of my not perfect self, God, you still pursue and love me with your loyal love. And for you in this room that you've maybe you've turned away from God, or this whole God thing may be new, I would challenge you to look to the source. That Jesus loved you so much that he gave his life for you. That he could come and be and take on the punishment for our sin and make us right before God. Like sin never existed. And if you're in this room, you're watching this, I would implore you to drive your life back towards the source and receive Jesus. We thank you, God. And you can do it just by praying and asking. God, we thank you. I thank you for your son, Jesus. And just a simple prayer, I receive Jesus as my Savior. You can do that right there where you're at. And I choose to turn from the way I'm going and pursue God. Maybe you're doing that for the first time, or maybe you're doing that as to redirect your life back. That's kind of a reset. So God, we thank you. In Jesus' name.